What's up, guys? Simpsonator here. Brand new episode of the In and Out Sports Podcast, joined by Dub City.
Let's do it.
This episode might be one of my favorites ever. We get to talk about my favorite team of all time, the Indianapolis Colts. And we're going to compare that amazing 2000s offense with one of the most record-breaking offenses of all time, the greatest show on turf, one of coolest nicknames also, led by Kurt Warner. We talked about him in a couple episodes ago.
Yep.
This one's going to be a good one, guys, because they're very similar. That's kind of why I wanted to compare those two. Yeah. They were led by a generational talent at quarterback, Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning, a pair, duo of receivers that were awesome. You know, you had Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, and the Colts. You had Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce on the Rams. You had a great dual threat running back, Marshall Faulk, and then Edger and James. Marshall Faulk also played for the Colts, so that adds a little bit of a linkage there as well. And, you know, they had an amazing piece on the line, whether it be Orlando Pace on the Rams or Jeff Saturday on the Colts. That was also supremely, I mean,
legends, almost. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it was like very, very
cornerstones. Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to compare those two. And obviously, I'm going to try to be not as biased as I can. I'm going to try to present the facts as the statistician. But both teams are super fun to watch.
Yeah,
that's first thing, like, amazing to watch, and the greatest show on turf did it in a little bit earlier. They were 99 to 01, call it, was their like prime.
It's like a 3-year run in a sense for them, and it was, after that it was a wrap.
If you guys remember the Kurt Warner episode 25, then you'll remember that Kurt Warner had a lot of ups and downs. When he went down with the Rams, they kind of suffered bad, and then
for sure,
you know, broke that team up rather quickly from their second Super Bowl.
And then, you know, to add that, to coming into an era, like, you know, the passing offense wasn't like how it is now. You know, this is back where things just started to really pick up air-wise. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of heavy running, heavy defense. So for things to be flying in the air like that, you know, was sort of new in a sense. And with Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning taking it from there and just, you know, flying through many years of success with the Colts, you know, these offenses were prolific, and you had weapons all around these phenomenal quarterbacks, and they put up numbers, man.
Yeah.
And they put up some electric numbers.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, 4,000 yards was a great season.
For a quarterback.
You could probably lead the NFL in passing with 4,000 yards. Yeah. Now that's like average Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford numbers, right? Yeah. 5,000 is that new benchmark.
The new K, right.
But 4,000 yards passing was a great year. Kurt Warner in 99 had 41 touchdowns, was only the second quarterback to do it at that time in 99. Dan Marino had done it twice before him.
Sure.
But that's Dan Marino's a legend for a reason.
Yeah. I want to dive into the greatest show on turf.
No,
so
let's do it.
They're going to do their 1999 to 2001. That was sort of their peak of their years. I have some stats for you. Total yards per game, 400. That was first in the NFL. So 400 yards in a game, back where defense was an emphasis, running it was an emphasis. You know, it's not what today's game is, you guys. You got to remember that. Passing yards, 272 in the air. An okay number, first in the NFL.
Yep.
When it came to rushing, 128th, fifth. I'll dive into Marshall Faulk. Got some crazy stats in regards to him. Points per game, it is a big one. 32.9, first in the NFL.
It's crazy.
They ranked first in three of those four categories. So it goes to show you how they compared. Not that they were just putting up crazy numbers by themselves, but how they compared to the rest of the league at the time.
Yeah, and I mean, those 3 years, they won the MVP. Kurt Warner won it in 99, Marshall Faulk in 2000, and Kurt Warner in 2001.
Wow.
Like, they dominated the league. It was crazy. A three-year stretch, which wasn't a lot.
Sure.
But they took over, and they ran the table
during,
on a lot of people.
During that stretch, Kurt Warner threw for 12,000 yards.
Wow.
And you want to guess how many touchdowns he threw?
I mean, he had 40,
for the 3 years.
He had 41 in that 99 year, and I'm going to guess probably had like in the 30s for the other one. I think he had 43 into it. What is that?
God, dude, this guy
120? 115?
A little high. 98 touchdowns. But still, like, you know, wow. You know, that's pretty solid for within 3 years of just excellence, really.
Yeah. Marshall Faulk was an animal, man. Yeah. He had 1,000 and 1,000.
I was going to say, the first to really get that. You know, we've always known a running back as being that tough, hard ground and pound through the hedges type of running back. This is the first time, you know, now that we see Alvin Kamara, we see all these different Christian McCaffrey. This was the first time the league has ever seen running back that can go catch you 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And imagine how versatile that offense became by having that piece, that unknown piece of,
right.
of, yo, we have this weapon and the league has never seen it. And you guys can't guard it because we have, you know, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce on the outside. And what you going to do?
Yeah. And
it's almost like it's the Chiefs of now, in a sense.
Yeah. And you think about it, even like Le'Veon Bell, who was in his Steelers days an amazing receiver, would line up as wideout, yeah. even though he's a running back.
Yeah.
He never broke 1,000 and 1,000. McCaffrey got it.
Yep.
But it's only been done by Roger Craig on the Niners days. And then Marshall Faulk and McCaffrey. So it's not a – it's a very, very
yeah. –
it's almost harder it's than a 2,000-yard season, honestly.
It's not common.
It's not, yeah.
For
not
Marshall Faulk, he ran for 1,300 yards each season and wow. earned All-Pro for three straight years.
Yep.
99.
He had 1,400 and,
yep,
and 1,000 in 99.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get to, yep.
And then in his 2,000 year where he was the MVP, he actually missed a couple games. And still had 26 touchdowns, yeah. which at the time broke a record.
Yep.
You know, obviously Sean Alexander broke it, and then LT had like that yeah. 30 touchdown season in 06. But at the time, in 14 games, to have 26 touchdowns. That's two touchdowns a game, guys, almost. Yeah.
During that stretch, he ran the ball 766 times for 4,000 and some change yards.
Yep.
5.4 average.
It's crazy.
For 37 touchdowns. So an average of 5.4 a rush, I mean, that's.
It's amazing.
That's high. You know, guys, like normally your running back is averaging 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
You know,
four is great.
Four is amazing. This guy was at 5.4. He caught 251 passes during that time frame for 2,600 yards. You want to know what his average catch was?
It's like 10 and change.
10.5.
Yeah.
10.5 an average for 22 touchdowns.
I'm telling
you. So, I mean, he was a machine.
Yeah. And he got injured a couple times. Like, that's what's hard to see. And then. He also had a young guy in Torrey Holt who came in, and yeah. you know he got drafted in '99, so he was new. Obviously, Kurt Warner had jumped in new in the '99 Cinderella season, and Torrey Holt became this deep threat that could take the yeah. top off of defense, took pressure off of Isaac Bruce, who had been there for a couple years and was one of the best route runners in the league at that time.
Right,
and you know they just became an amazing duo. That's probably top five in NFL history. I mean, they played together for like 7-8 years, even yeah. after the Greatest Show on Turf kind of ended.
Sure.
Those two together were amazing.
Yeah. To, you know, kind of put a bow on your poke, Torrey Holt, 7-time Pro Bowler.
In 9 years.
In 9 years, which is very good.
Yeah.
During that span, he had 215 catches, 3,700 yards, 19 touchdowns during that kind of run with yep. that, you know, Greatest Show on Turf. Isaac Bruce, 4-time Pro Bowler, 228 catches, 3,700 yards, and 27 touchdowns. So, I mean, these guys were dynamic together. And
yeah.
they hit in the draft. And everything for that team just sort of fell in place at the right time.
Yeah. And it did not look that way. I mean, it was the season was bleak.
Yep.
Kurt Warner comes in, and obviously Torrey Holt, he led the league in catches in 2000, so another yep. record for that Greatest Show on Turf. He also led it again in 2003.
Yep.
He's the fastest receiver to get to 10,000 and 11,000 yards.
That's crazy.
That's probably going to be broken by some of these guys in the new age, but still, to have that record stand for over a decade is
right.
just pretty nice. You know, Isaac Bruce was big. You know, he had the 73-yard game-winning touchdown, or game-clinching touchdown, rather, against the Titans in the 99 season.
Right.
You know, had a couple of big catches late in multiple playoff games. Him and Ricky Prohl, you know, they would go deep in the two-minute drill in a playoff game.
Just surgical.
You don't think of that. You think, you know, chunk, field
nah,
goal.
Bro.
You know,
yeah,
like these dudes would go deep, one play in. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, that Tampa Bay game in 99 NFC Championship game really stands out. It was 6-5. 6-5.
What a weird-ass score.
Like, that's how crazy their defense was in that
tough
day.
Tough Tampa defense,
that Tampa
too,
defense.
Right?
Yeah, with Tony Dungy was
Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks. Like, that's one of the
– Rondi Barber.
Yeah, oh, arguably one of the best defenses we've ever seen.
Yeah, and they actually had a solution – to the Greatest Show on Turf for 3.5 quarters, and then 40-yard beautiful throw down the sideline, Kurt Warner to Ricky Prohl, their third receiver. So now you finally shut down Marshall Faulk all game. You pick off Warner three times. You shut down the two receivers, and then Ricky Prohl catches a 43-yard touchdown down the sideline and wins the game, essentially. And then, you know, they go on to the Super Bowl. They had so many weapons.
Yep, for sure. So, I mean, crazy, crazy stats, crazy offensive stats. We'll see how they pair up against your 2000s Colts, and we'll sort of, you know, digest it from there and maybe, you know, pick apart the players and stuff like that. So before we head to the Indianapolis Colts, I'd like to have an honorable mention when it comes to best offensive years of all time.
Okay.
I'm going to take you back to 2016.
Oh, no. You're not going to give me a one-year run.
The Atlanta Falcons of 2016. One of the most prolific offenses the NFL has ever seen.
No, it's not.
Just give me a second.
All right.
415 yards a game.
Okay.
Second in the NFL. 295 passing yards, third in the NFL. 120 rushing yards, fifth in the NFL. 33.8 points a game, first.
That's great.
Matt Ryan had a career best 4,900 yards, 38 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions, averaged 9.3 yards per attempt, and with a passer rating of 117. I mean, you got to remember that Kyle Shanahan year, they were dynamic offensively.
Yeah, but it's a one-year run.
I don't give a damn.
That didn't end in anything.
Hey, this is the year we made the Super Bowl. Yes, 28-3 happened, but we were on top of the world. Okay? I have one more stat that will leave the Falcons alone. The Falcons ran 78 fewer plays in 2016 compared to the year previous, and they scored 201 more points. Isn't that crazy? It goes to show you that offense was amazing. The 33.8 per game is tied for eighth most in NFL history. So, I mean,
they could score. No, they definitely scored. They shredded the Packers. We were both at that game, the last game at the Georgia Dome. And the NFC
Julio had like 1,400, 1,500 that year.
Yeah, he had a monster year. I mean, moving him to the X spot was really smart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Falcons, I'd rather choose the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, this team is sort of, you know, beneath these two. But yeah. As I was doing my research, I thought I'd show the hometown some love.
I feel you. I mean, I respect that.
So what year, you know, from my research, I think 2004 was the year for the Colts. But what year do you feel like was their year of just, you know, this is automatic, nonstop offensive power?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. 2005, I would say, was our best chance at a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Obviously, we won in 06, but 2005, we probably should have won. 2003 was when everything came together, I think. That was when Manning dropped 49 touchdowns, which broke Marino's record of like 20 years. Marino had 48 back in 1984. And, you know, Marvin Harrison just came off that 143 catch season the year before. Reggie Wayne was in there for 2 years at the time, was really coming back. Edgerrin James, though, that's when he had come back from his injury. So Edgerrin James, for example. I gotta go on a little bit of a rant on this dude, man. He was a monster. He just got into Hall of Fame. Yeah. Congrats. But he could have been even better, which is scary because he came into the league his rookie year, dropped 1,500 yards rushing, 13 touchdowns, and then another 600 receiving and 4 scores. That's his rookie year.
Yeah.
2,100 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
He comes in his second year and goes for 1,700 yards.
I mean, wow.
Another 600 receiving and then 18 combined touchdowns. And then that third year, he tears his ACL. Fourth year, he kind of struggles.
Yeah.
But then in those years, 5, 6, and 7, he goes for 1,200, 1,500, 1,500.
That's exactly what that team needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Type of style, that type of runner. I mean, there wasn't more of a perfect fit.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Isn't he from the U, too? He came out of Miami, right?
Another guy from the U.
Running backs from the U are just built different, man.
Dude, that U in the early 2000s.
Oh, my God. They were ridiculous, for real.
But, like, Ed Reed.
Oh, my God.
Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James. Like, all these guys were
Frank Gore.
Yeah, Frank Gore.
Just names out of
Willis McGahee. That's all their running backs. They're all backed up each other. But now, Edgerrin James was that guy that we needed. When he came back from his ACL, he wasn't as much of a dual threat. He was just a runner. But, I mean, hey, I'll take 1,200 to 1,500 yards running all day. But those first 2 years, he was electric. But to answer your question, I think 2003, when Manning was Manning, his first of four MVPs. But 2005 still hurts the most, I would say that. 2005 was the last year of Adrian James.
Yeah.
We had lost to the Patriots in back-to-back years, 03 and 04, and then they got knocked out. So we were golden. We had first-round bye, no Patriots. We were 14-2, and Ben Roethlisberger makes the stupidest tackle of all time. With fucking Jerome Bettis fumble. We pick it up, and then going down, doesn't go sideline. Nick Harper gets shoestring tackled by Ben Roethlisberger. Good God. And then Vanderjagt misses nightmares. A 40-yard
field nightmares.
Goal. I can tell you the play I played the entire game. It was
nightmares.
Terrible.
I'm surprised you went 0-3 because I feel like the 0-4 season was the season that, you know, was really it for them offensive wise. I mean, I have a lot of, you know, we'll dive. I have 2004 stats for days, so hit I mean, me. I guess we'll kind of, you know, dive into that. 2004 total yards 400, second in NFL. 288 passing yards, first in NFL that year. Rushing 115, 15th, so you mid of the pack. Points per game first at 32.6. So, I mean, that I think they were hitting on all cylinders at that time.
Yeah.
Manning threw for what then was a record of 49 touchdowns that season.
Oh, that was the year then.
Yeah,
sorry,
so maybe you're referring to 2004. Yeah, maybe you're referring to 2004. Named MVP.
Yeah.
And like you said, 1,500 yards from Edgerrin James.
Yeah.
Harris. And then here's a big one. Harrison, Wayne, and a lot of names, a name a lot of people forget about. Your boy Stokely. A lot of people forgot about him. They all had 1,000 yards that year.
Yeah,
so you get three receivers to give you 1,000 yards. Like, even these days now where we're throwing it all over the place, you don't get a lot of teams that have three 1,000-yard receivers.
Yeah, and that's what was good about Manning. Like, he was always, obviously, Marvin Harrison was the number one.
Yeah.
But Reggie Wayne could have a 200-yard game.
Oh, my God.
Like, Stokely had multiple 100-yard-plus games.
I felt like if anybody was to have a 200-yard game, it is Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, Reggie Wayne was our probably our big play guy. Marvin was the most consistent, but he had finished a lot of games 5 of 80. But almost every game was 5 for 80.
Yeah.
And, you know, a touchdown or not. But
sure.
It was the consistency of Harrison and the big play of Wayne. You know, Stokely and Dallas Clark in the middle.
I was
going to
say, solid tight end play.
Yeah. We had weapons everywhere.
I mean, how many
offense.
Times did Dallas Clark come through?
A lot. Dude, no gloves, man.
No,
I still
gloves,
don't
just
it.
Hands, just weird. It felt weird. During that regular season, they totaled five or more passing touchdowns four different times during the regular season. So they were burning people. Yeah. You know, I just, for us, what we relate to is the Kansas City Chiefs as of right now with Patrick Mahomes these last couple of years. Like, offensive numbers through the roof and just crazy. Like, if Patrick Mahomes didn't throw for three touchdowns, it was a bad game for him.
Right.
You know, if he doesn't throw for four touchdowns, like, oh, what happened with Pat Mahomes? So this is sort of what's equivalent to what it is today. And, I mean, just wow. I mean, I'm sure you, as being a fan, awesome. You know, that was the peak of your fandom, I guess, until you got to the playoffs and you saw the Patriots. All right, let's call a timeout for Sims' Stats, sponsored by nobody.
We all say that defense wins championships in the NFL, and as good as an offensive-minded episode this is, it's imperative that you need a good defense. And a perfect example why is the 2000 year. So between the two Super Bowl years of the Rams, they were still an amazing offense. They were crushing it. Marshall Faulk won the MVP, as we talked about earlier. But they allowed 471 points, which is 29.5 a game.
That's high.
That is the most in NFL history of a team that still had a winning record.
Wow.
So they still finished 10-6.
Wow. So they were just basically shootouts. They were just, we're going to outscore you.
Every game was a shootout. I mean, imagine just spotting your team 30.
I would have not thought that.
Yeah.
29 is high as hell. 20 something is like 22 is 25 is high. 29?
Imagine scoring four touchdowns and you're still going to lose. Like, that's just crazy. So the Rams finished 10-6 that year and lost in the wild card because their defense could not stop a nosebleed. But defense wins, man. Yeah. William McGinnis was tough. That one. It hurts.
That was the year that...
the goal line stand.
But wasn't that you guys like only score three against them?
That was the year before. The year before we lost 20.
I'm bringing up nightmares, guys. It was rough. You should see the Cincinnati's face.
Slowly crying.
I mean, this prolific offense, and you go up against the Patriots, and you only score three.
Yeah, we got busted.
That's tough to deal with.
We got busted 20-3 in the championship game, and then the next year we had a chance, and then Edgerrin James gets stuffed two or three times, I think, at the goal line by William McGinnis.
Good God.
And, that's a wrap of that season. We had some rough times with the Patriots, early 2000s for sure.
Yeah.
But, I guess it's kind of crazy because 06 was the year that we won the Super Bowl, but not our best year at all. We started 9-0 and then crumbled miserably, almost missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we got destroyed by the Jags. That was like when everybody was like, oh, shit, we actually might miss the playoffs. We had lost five straight, I think. Maurice Jones-Drew dropped 200 yards on us. We lost like 44-12, 13 or something like that.
Star.
Yeah, he was he killed us. Our run defense was garbage, but thankfully my man Bob Sanders came back, and we won the Super Bowl. And that whole playoff run, like, Manning wasn't that good. We beat the Ravens 15-6 off five field goals.
Wow.
The championship game against the Patriots was awesome, the best game ever. But we'll skip that one for now. Even the Bears Super Bowl game, like, Manning had one touchdown passing, to Wayne, but it was definitely a defensive battle, that those playoff games, in the Super Bowl that we won. And just some stats for
hit us.
The Colts. I mean,
let that blood blue just cut that blue blood just rush through you right now.
I need it. I mean, we talked about Marvin Harrison's 143 catches in 02, stood for about 17 years before Michael Thomas broke it. So that's one record.
That's crazy.
Manning had the 49 touchdowns in 04. I had said 03 by accident. And, Brady broke it a couple years later in that 16-0 season, and then Manning broke it again.
With the Denver run.
Denver
offense. I mean, if I'm going to mention the Falcons offense, I think that Denver offense is actually more prolific and more better. That was the best offense ever, in a sense.
Yeah, but by statistic-wise, they scored 600 points, the only team to score 600. Manning had 55
touchdowns.
After a
quote-unquote washed-up Manning, injured,
it was pretty washed
whatever. It was pretty I mean, it was pretty crazy that first year back, so.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Second year back, but his fifth MVP that year. But, Manning had... We talked about the greatest show on turf. They had three MVPs in 3 years.
Yeah.
Two by Warner, one by Marshall Faulk. In that, to me, 2002 is where we started to get our shit together offensively as the Colts. And then if you want to end it in 2010, where we lost to the Super Bowl to the Saints, that's an 8-year run. Or 9-year run, sorry. Manning won four MVPs in that year.
That's amazing,
so,
bro.
It's domination.
That's like Michael Jordan type shit.
Yeah, he was all over the place. He was
MVP winning everything. Wise, like, that's not something that happens.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. QB to wide receiver, or receiver could be a tight end, whatever.
Sure.
Kind of touchdown rankings of all time. Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning are number one by a pretty healthy margin, 114 touchdowns.
The greatest tandem of all time, NFL wise. I mean, I don't know what's going to stop that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks Young Rice or Montana Rice, but I mean, to be fair, Rice had two great combos. Brady and Gronkowski is the leader right now. I mean, they're at 99, and they're actually number two all time. But that's still 15 touchdowns away Manning to Harrison. And
like, you're not even close. Yeah. And like, Brady and Gronk has scored a lot.
Yeah. And that feels like they always connect for a couple touchdowns a game. Yeah.
But no way they're catching that.
Yeah, especially now with Gronk getting too old. But what's crazy on that list is number seven is Manning to Reggie Wayne with 76.
Wow.
So, like, Manning is twice on that list, top 10, to two different receivers in the same time.
What a goat.
It's awesome. That trio was unstoppable.
What a goat. Amazing. So, if we were to compare both of these teams and these offenses, let's play this game. Like, okay, so Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning.
I'm going to go Peyton.
We're going Peyton. So, check for the Colts quarterback. Running back. Got Marshall Faulk.
Tough one.
You got Edgerrin. I might have to lean more towards Marshall Faulk, me personally.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going in the time frame that we're thinking, 2002, 2010.
Sure.
This is post-ACL tear Edgerrin James. So, he's not really as much of a dual threat.
Right.
And Marshall Faulk was a dual threat in his years as a Ram, so I'll
imagine give him that. Imagine if the Colts had like a dual threat Marshall Faulk type of guy. Like, they did. Like if I'm saying, they but had I'm like
Marshall Faulk.
But I'm saying, like, if Edgerrin James was like a receiving running back, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, it was shaping up to be like that. His first 2 years, he had 600 yards each
year.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, and four touchdowns the first year, five the second year. I mean, he was catching the ball out of the end zone a lot. But in those years post-ACL, I mean, he had one receiving touchdown. He had 250 yards receiving, which isn't that good. I mean, it's like 20 a game, you know. But he was still a rushing threat, but he wasn't the dual threat that Marshall Faulk was.
Right.
So I got to give the edge to Marshall Faulk, but barely, because, I mean.
I feel you. It's Adrian close.
Ran better.
It's a lot closer than what it seems.
Yeah.
All right, so check mark for the Rams in regards to running back. Here's where it gets good. Your receivers.
Yeah.
You have Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. I guess we'll stagger Stokely in there. You got Holt, Isaac Bruce. I mean,
it's a tough one. It's
very close. I mean, I'm leaning more towards your Colts.
Same.
Only because of how surgical Marvin Harrison was.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the most underrated players in NFL history, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. Didn't make the noise or the drama that, you know, T.O., Randy, all these other guys did, Chad Johnson, but it's just the route running and the prolificness of
it's just surgical is the name. Yeah. I just, what's the word that makes me think of. Yeah,
I think though I got to give Isaac Bruce some props. He is probably one of the top route runners ever as well.
Yeah,
and he had a good chemistry and he was able to do it without Kurt Warner. Right, they had some scrubs at quarterback after him. You know, Brunell wasn't the greatest, but he was still able to produce numbers. That's the one knock I had on Marvin Harrison in the episode where we compared the second greatest wide receiver of all time. He pretty much only played with Manning, so we don't really know what he could do outside of that and how much Manning helped him rather than vice versa.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing about Marvin, the knock on him is the playoffs. You know, he had 114 touchdowns with Manning, but only two of those came in the playoffs, 112 in the regular season.
Leave that to Reggie Wayne, fam. He was clutch in the playoffs.
Reggie Wayne was our touchdown guy in the playoffs. He had the one in the Super Bowl. He had multiple, you know, big catches late. Every time we needed him, he was that guy.
What a draft pick.
I just think, number one pick.
Another guy from the U.
Yeah, another guy from the U. Roommates with Ed Reed, man. Imagine that.
Really?
Imagine him, like, learning from Ed Reed how to, like, avoid the safety.
Both, them both practicing and working out together, like. I mean, who else would you rather go up against than Ed fucking Reed?
Real talk.
Wow.
But, I mean, I just think that Reggie Wayne had a little bit longer of a career.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's going to get in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, it feels like Reggie Wayne produced a little more, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just, I guess with all those big-time playoff games, big-time catches, like, it just feels like Reggie Wayne's production just weighs a little more.
Yeah.
You know?
Torrey Holt isn't in the Hall, but Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, Isaac Bruce, and Orlando Pace are. So four of those greatest show on turf guys. I think Torrey Holt makes it.
Yeah.
But if Reggie makes it before him, then I think that all but seals this conversation. Because
100%.
Obviously Marvin Harrison is in the Hall of Fame. You know, Jeff Saturday's probably going to get there when his eligibility comes up. Peyton just got it. Edgerrin James just got it.
Yep.
You know, Reggie's not eligible yet. But if Reggie gets in and beats Torrey Holt, who retired before him, you know, that says
like
a lot.
Said, it seals the deal.
But I mean, this might be where my bias comes out, but I think Reggie Wayne was
I agree.
Amazing.
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. So I've brought up the Chiefs a couple times, the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure there's other, you know, that Denver offense was crazy. I'm sure there's a couple of Green Bay years where those offenses are crazy. Where do you feel like these two offenses rank compared to those other offenses?
Man, it's hard to see. How long will the Chiefs stay?
Yeah.
Right? If they lose their cap issues or whatever happens and they have to get rid of Kelce and or Tyreek Hill.
That's huge.
That makes them only a 2-year stretch.
Yeah.
And in that 2-year stretch or 3-year stretch, call it, did they do more than the Rams' greatest show on turf? I'm going to say no. Because those 3 years when the Rams were amazing, ridiculous. And they'd be the top offense ridiculous. Probably
and
ever.
Let's zoom out and remind you guys, like, those that stretch for the Colts, how many years was that, Sims? Like, that's an 8-year run, 9-year run.
End. Right. Like, you can put it at 99 if you really want
to. Very
when,
true.
When we went 13-3 for the first time.
It's almost a decade of just going nuts.
Yeah, I mean, they were the Colts. They were the.
It's not just these windows of time. You know, Denver was a window of time. You know, the Great Show on Turf, a window of time. Kansas City, the Chiefs, you know, still to be announced, to be decided. But that decade of time, yeah. I feel like has to put them at least closest to the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put the Colts, I mean, at least from a regular season perspective, they were the most prolific in that 10-year stretch than any offense we've ever seen, points-wise.
Consistency.
You know, consistency. Even you know, we lost Edger and James, and Joseph Addai and Dominic Rhodes came up. Marvin Harrison kind of slipped out in 2007 when he first got hurt.
Right.
Reggie Wayne just took number one receiver duties and kept it going for five more years.
Good God.
You know, it's like we didn't miss a beat
right.
until Manning got hurt and, you know.
Where?
That's that was a lot of the
offense. And Andrew Luck just happens to fall in your lap.
Hey man, we'll take it. Better to be lucky than good. But that's the main difference of those two offenses, I think. The Greatest Show on Turf, as good as Kurt Warner is, I mean, Belichick said it in the 0-1 presser even. He's been famous in his Patriots days for shutting down the number one guy.
Yeah.
And saying anybody else can beat me but the number one guy.
But this guy.
And his number one guy was Marshall Faulk on the Rams. And he was the engine.
Yeah.
As good as Kurt Warner, as good as those receivers
threw
are.
Threw a wrench in everything.
Yeah, he could do everything. And so Marshall Faulk was the guy leading the engine. Although Warner had the MVP, more MVPs, and the Super Bowl MVP, it was Marshall Faulk's offense, essentially. Whereas the Colts, it was nobody in the world would question that it's Manning's offense. It was him, the reason why the Colts were so good.
100%.
Calling the plays.
Absolutely.
Audibling.
Just surgical, bro.
Yeah. He was fun to watch.
Oh, my God. And, you know, I went back and, you know, first when we first sort of rolled out the show, I don't know if you guys remember, but we rolled out some highlight tapes of Marvin Harrison and stuff like that. And I just looked back and I'm not used to seeing Peyton Manning throw the ball with such velocity, bro. Yeah. Like, it came out of his arm like a cannon.
Yeah.
You know, we have the recent version of Peyton Manning and like, oh, he can't. He's just throwing these ducks. He's not throwing deep with the Denver days and stuff like that. But, man, like Peyton Manning at his prime, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen anybody throw the ball like that.
Yeah.
Like, it comes out of his hand just so nice and so smooth and just falls right in the bucket with, yeah. mind you, Marvin Harrison, like, at full speed, Reggie Wayne at full speed.
Yep.
It's amazing to see.
Yeah, I mean, he used to throw on the run and things like that. You don't even think
bootleg.
Of
bootleg.
Yeah, the bootleg, naked bootleg action, stuff like that. And almost all these highlights, you look at Marvin Harrison, he's always wide open. Yep. The route running was.
I would say Peyton Manning has the greatest fake touchdown of all time. I don't know if you remember that against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
even caught the camera, everybody. Like, he just kept it and just kind of walked in, and everyone's like, oh, wow. Look at Peyton.
Yeah, nobody thought he was running that shit.
Oh, my God. Especially during that year. Like, what the fuck? But amazing. All right, cool. So, I mean, I agree with you in regards to sort of that consistency of all the entire decade having them, if not number one. I mean, do you see anybody else, you know, that can argue for number one at the moment?
I mean, in terms of offense of all time, it's tough. I mean, there's some of those Packers years are really good.
Right.
Statistically, probably those Steelers big three with you know, Le'Veon, Antonio, but
like, what do they do? You know, they weren't successful. I mean, granted, the Colts was a phenomenal regular season team, and always kind of, you know, you didn't get the Peyton Manning in the playoffs, but at least they won one.
Yeah, they won one. I mean, they won 10 games the entire year, every year. I mean, at least 10 games.
Minimum.
They won the division almost every year. You know, they won that Super Bowl. They made playoff noise, I guess. But I would say that the Greatest Show on Turf is up there. I would say that maybe those Niners offense back in the day, if you want to go back in the day with those Cowboys with the triplets, are up there as well. But I haven't seen any of those guys have a 10-year run of offense.
That's what's sticking out, yeah. That's what mainly sticks out. Phenomenal years, man.
Yes, sir.
Glad to take you down memory lane there, Simpsonator.
Appreciate it.
During the regular season only, though.
Hey, man.
Some heartbreaks during the playoffs.
There's a lot of them. I don't know. The Patriots ones were tough, but that Steelers one hurts the most, I think.
Devastating.
Still. Because that was the year, 14-2, man, and Ben Roethlisberger with a tackle like that. And then Vanacek, he misses that field goal, the 43-yarder, and then, you know, goes on Letterman the next day and makes it, as if that was supposed to prove anything. Got cut the next day.
Damn.
Like, the next day got
played
cut.
Played yourself, homie. Yeah.
But we got Vinatieri out of that, so.
I'm hello.
Gonna, yeah, Vinatieri.
Hello.
Won us a Super Bowl the next year, so.
Yeah, no kidding. Amazing.
It all works out. But we didn't get one for Edge, which kind of sucked because he left that year as well.
It's all good. So 2004 Colts, we say, you know, number one for now and, you know, over the greatest show in turf, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that 2010 year was good too. But there was no Marvin, so it was less fun. But we went 14-0, lost the last two because we benched everybody.
Yeah.
And saved them for the Super Bowl, but then got robbed by the Saints, so.
Robbed.
Yeah, that onside kick and garbage bounty gate.
Robbed or ballsy?
No. That was a Colts recovery.
I feel you. Well, great show. 2004 Colts, number one offense. Thank you for listening in to another episode of the In and Out Sports Podcast. The Simpsonator and I really appreciate you guys listening in, and we appreciate the support. Sammy, where can they find us?
You can find us on all the main streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, and also on Instagram, in_N_OutPodcast. Leave us a follow, like, subscribe, comment, all the good stuff. We really appreciate all the feedback, and hope you guys listen to the rest of this journey. See you guys next week.
Peace.